I crashed the Democratic convention. And at first I got a floor pass that they'd give you for 20 minutes at a time. You had to turn in your regular press pass and your ID. And if you didn't bring it back on time, no more floor passes for you, I guess. Went down on the floor to get a quick roll-in, as they call them, for the evening broadcast of crashing the party on the Independent Media Center. And on the convention floor, I honest to God felt like I had walked into the Truman Show. That I was trapped among all these Trumanoid Democrats here who all had that kind of zombified look on their face. Just like the Truman Show, everybody's acting, nobody's real. Sure enough, there's a dome on the whole thing. What if I can't escape? Jim Carrey got out, but then again, he could afford to. It was during a break in the speakers, so they were all just mindlessly waving little yellow gore signs, boogieing to some of the worst music I have ever heard in my life. So bad, I actually wished they were playing Fleetwood Mac again instead. Yes, one thing's viewer out there you can be sure of, Democrats have terrible taste in music. I mean, after all, Bill Clinton, packaged as the rock and roll president, once said his favorite recording artists were Michael Bolton and Kenny G. Then they went on an 8-year crusade to Michael Bolton and Kenny G-ify the rest of us, which is going to get a lot worse with Lieberman and Tipper's husband and all, not to mention King George II. Then I left the Truman Show and went into the upper deck to watch the rest of the festivities. And imagine my nausea and horror when, just like the Nuremberg rally, the famous one in Triumph of the Will, the Leni Riefenstahl propaganda masterpiece that all American television seems to be based on now, 5,000 delegates on cue pulled out these signs saying, "Tipper rocks." Waving them enthusiastically, "Tipper rocks, Tipper rocks, Tipper rocks." And then I noticed, just like David Letterman or a game show, there were these marquees up above the seats flashing, "Tipper rocks, Tipper rocks, Tipper rocks," just like an applause meter on a game show or whatever. It was hard to find them because there were so many corporate logos scattered everywhere in this convention hall called the Staples Center, named after an office supply chain instead of some civic leader or anything. Another common omnipresent corporate tactic now. This was what I had to put up with. "Tipper rocks, Tipper rocks." What a brazen rewriting of history this is. We know what the truth is, but we're just going to pretend this is it, and that's what you're all going to believe from now on. Tipper rocks, Tipper rocks. If you recall, oh, don't do that. Now. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you with a memory longer than the last episode of Survivor, Tipper doesn't rock. They've given her over a decade's worth of making over. But not everybody forgets so quickly that not only does Tipper not rock, she's very anti-rock. And if you like Tipper Gore, you'll love Joseph Lieberman. Joseph Lieberman, Gore's vice presidential pick, is like Tipper Gore on crack. He has taken over the anti-music crusade in the Senate, holding not one but two committee hearings chaired by his ally Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas. And at the first hearing in 97, guess who was called as an expert witness by this committee? Joseph Lieberman, who went on and on about the decay of society and how it was caused by music and wicked television and video games, and ended his talk by saying that Marilyn Manson must be dropped immediately. He, the high moral Lieberman, had the right to tell Interscope Records who to blackball. That was his attitude. And they held a second hearing later where they brought in the woman from Arkansas to blame Tupac and Bone Thugs for the kid shooting spree there, and were trying to claim that school violence was caused by music that Joseph Lieberman doesn't like. And he has help with this, too. His main allies are William Bennett, George I's former drug czar, a man so bigoted that as drug czar, he demanded public beheadings of drug dealers and said he had no moral problem with that, and called for rounding up youth from Washington, D.C., which is an almost entirely black city, and locking them on barges in the Potomac River to fight drugs. That is how far off the scale William Bennett is, but Lieberman is perfectly comfortable with this guy. Another ally, C. Dolores Tucker, a former civil rights activist who's now gone way over into Clarence Thomas land, and among other things, later, to add to a family's grief, sued the estate of Tupac Shakur because Tupac had written a song about her when she was attacking his music trying to get it banned called Why Do They Call You Bitch? Her lawsuit essentially claimed that it had caused her to fear for her life because gangster rap is automatically violent and promotes violence in others, therefore she was going to get knocked off because of music. And loss of consortium was the phrase in the lawsuit, which essentially meant that from the grave, Tupac Shakur had ruined her sex life. Three cheers for Tupac Shakur, ladies and gentlemen. On August 8th, after getting the vice presidential nomination, Lieberman went on the Larry King Show, where he blamed all the high school shootings on Doom, Quake, and of course, your friend and mine, Marilyn Manson. Then said, and this is a quote, "This matter is going to be something that Al and Tipper and Hadassah, Lieberman's wife, and I, are going to work on because we care about the moral future of our country. So she, meaning Tipper, is going to be a great partner in this effort." The year before, in 99, Lieberman and his pal Senator John McCain introduced in the Senate the 21st Century Media Responsibility Act that would basically impose a one-size-fits-all rating system on music, films, videos, and computer games, rating the intensity of violence. I wonder how McCain would get around that when he talked about all the people he killed from his fighter plane in Vietnam. Companies that violated Lieberman and McCain's labeling requirement and did something they didn't like, number one, every single thing put out would have to be recalled so it could be labeled within a year of the bill passing, and anything that violated the labeling requirement, any label who put out a CD, big or small, would face fines of $10,000 a day. And imported CDs and other products that didn't use Lieberman's label, meaning my stuff, would become illegal. And on May 30th of that year, C. Dolores Tucker, William Bennett, and Lieberman put out their latest blacklists of artists they thought should be blackballed and they didn't approve of. Blackballed. Almost all of them were black. Gee, what a surprise. The usual suspects were on there: Wu-Tang, Notorious B.I.G., Ghetto Boys, Dog Pound, Tupac, Cypress Hill, token death metalers, Cannibal Corpse, although only one metal band made the list. And get this, guess who else was on Lieberman's list? The Black Crows and Blues Traveler. Too risque for Joseph Lieberman. Yes. And Lieberman and Bennett also give out a Silver Sewer Award every year to people who put out the most evil, wicked, risque TV shows. Do they give it to cops? No. Do they give it to real TV where you can sit around with the family and watch somebody burn to death? No. They gave it to Friends. And admittedly, I have no use for that show either. I mean, it's just, oh, the dramatic, comical lives of super wealthy young yuppies in an apartment way bigger than any apartment I've ever been admitted to in New York. So the Silver Sewer Award went to Friends for the wrong reasons, and Lieberman later admitted he had never seen the show. Earlier this year, Lieberman was on the 700 Club, being all chummy with his old pal Pat Robertson. Robertson patted Lieberman on the head for being an ally in his effort to put religion back in the centerpiece of American life by law. And Lieberman, in return, patted Robertson on the head, saying that in this book that he, Lieberman, had written, he saw the beginning of another spiritual awakening in America. Perhaps that's the rise in the use of psychedelic drugs these days? No. And Lieberman then said to Pat Robertson, "I'm pleased to be talking to you because I think you really have been at the heart of it, in which people return to their religions as a way to build a wall of principle around themselves to protect themselves and their families from the anything goes mentality." Lieberman went on to say, "I don't think America suffers from too much religion in public life. We suffer from too little of it." Then in the past few days, Lieberman went off again, saying that we are all children of the same awesome God. Awesome, dude. And quoted America's second president and first one to get voted out of office, John Adams, quote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people." Then went on to say, "The United States Constitution guarantees freedom of religion, but not freedom from religion." I, for one, am very afraid of the Lieberman-Gore agenda, and people come back and say, "Well, you can't vote for Ralph Nader, you gotta vote for Gore, because imagine what Bush is gonna do with the American Supreme Court." I look at Lieberman and imagine what Gore is gonna do to the Supreme Court if this is what he wants for a vice president, and again, see no choice between Gore and Bush whatsoever. To placate this, Gore, when he came on after the whole Tipper Rocks affair, where Tipper then showed a genuinely moving slideshow / infomercial narrated by Tipper about her life over the years with her beloved Al Gore, right down to the shot of Tipper hanging up the laundry in front of their first home, a mobile home, when Al Gore was in the Army. Then Gore comes out, entering the convention hall like a pro wrestler, from the back, slapping hands with the audience, getting ready to get in the ring or on the stage, which was painted all gray with the exact stripes you see on American Airlines planes going everywhere. No more of this pastel yuppie stuff for the Democrats. This year, the Republicans used that. So we're going to be rah-rah patriotic instead. Gore's speech was a genuinely moving speech. I was surprised. He spoke well and came out a lot more forcefully on issues I am concerned about than I ever expected him to. Even vowed to fight big drug companies and the way they gouge people to the point where the price of many prescription drugs in America is 4 to 10 times the price in Canada, let alone in the third world. This is what happens when you privatize healthcare, ladies and gentlemen. You get a disease industry who figures, oh, these people haven't bought insurance from us, and this is our hospital. Throw them out the door. Let them die. AIDS, you just lost your insurance. Go die. There's not any money in you. Anyway, there was enough of this coming from Gore that I think, God, if I close my eyes, I'd think I was listening to Ralph Nader. Too bad almost every single thing he said in his speech is the exact opposite of his own record. Fight the drug companies? Not Gore. He went down to South Africa to bully President Mbeki into not making generic copies of anti-AIDS drugs or importing cheaper ones from South America, even though there is a badass AIDS epidemic going on in South Africa and in the African continent right now. 1 in 10 in South Africa, 1 in 4 or 5 in Zimbabwe, supposedly 1 in 3 in Botswana. But Gore's main purpose is not to save people's lives, it's to save drug companies' money. Let your people die, President Mbeki, otherwise we're going to sick the WTO on you. That was Gore's message. He later went back on that due to public outcry, but that is where this guy's instincts lie. So there was the usual pomp and circumstance, trying to make it like the old exciting conventions when there was more than one candidate and real issues were debated at the podium on the convention floor. Not anymore. Just like the coronation of King George II, this was the coronation of Prince Albert. They waved their Tipper Rock signs. Then on cue, when Lieberman came out for a second, they all said, "Go, Joe, go! Go, Joe, go!" And sure enough, the marquees were flashing, "Go, Joe, go! Go, Joe, go! This is what you're supposed to do, game show audience." Then at the end, of course, the balloons fell, and I kept thinking, oh, please let it rain so many balloons it drowns all these delegates. But far from it. Hardly any of the balloons were falling, and from where I was sitting, I could see the workmen in the rafters of the Staples Center yelling instructions to each other, shaking the balloon nets, trying to get them to fall. Where was Survival Research Labs when we needed them? And then, as Gore went off into the sunset, smooching Tipper, and of course, the kiss is discussed more in the editorial pages of America's newspapers than the policies. That's what dumbed-down corporate media is all about, day after day debating how Al kissed Tipper. Then I got back down to the floor level. I couldn't get a floor pass back in, but the delegates were exiting, so I interviewed them. Well, what excites you about Al Gore? And it was like, oh, he's a great environmentalist. Oh, he's against the drug companies. Oh, he's against the oil companies and big business. They all believed what they wanted to believe and fixated it on this guy. And I asked them, well, have you contrasted this to Gore's actual record on these issues? And the answer 75% of the time was no. All surprised I would even ask them such a question. And so then I asked, well, does Tipper rock? Oh, yeah, Tipper rocks, man. Yeah, Tipper rocks. Old ladies, oh, I think she rocks. Younger people who should know better, yeah, she really rocks, man. There it was, triumph of the will, Democratic style. I mean, they tried to make that big rush of energy when Gore entered the room. So it's sort of half triumph of the will, half arena rock, trying to get people to cheer wildly at different points. And when Gore went on, I mean, I just didn't feel the same groundswell of emotion and energy as when I went to my very first arena rock show when I was in 9th grade to see Alice Cooper. And when he finally came on, I was like, my jaw just dropped. Oh my God, right there, it really is Alice Cooper. No matter what they did to orchestrate the event, that just didn't happen with me when Gore came into the room. So Al Gore, you're no Alice Cooper. But why Gore pushed that many buttons that I supported was obviously he's feeling the pressure both from the protests and from the Nader candidacy. So much pressure that they're now fighting like crazy to keep Nader out of the televised presidential debates this fall. It used to be if you had over 5% in the opinion polls, they'd let you in. Thus, Perot got in 92 and John Anderson in 1980. But as soon as Nader went over 5%, suddenly the bar is raised to 15%. And the excuse they were using was, well, our sponsor, Anheuser-Busch Brewery, makers of Budweiser and other fine liquid that gives me a migraine every time I sip one of their products, says 15%, and it's the sponsor's rule. We can't change the sponsor's rule. What a great metaphor for how the Republicrats run, or should I say, forget to run the world. We can't cross the wishes of our sponsors, can we?